Hi, I'm Emily Perkins, and I'm going to read a few pages from my book, The Forest. I'll just give you some context of this part of the story. It's set in a commune where the main characters have been as children, but now they're adults, they're well into their lives. And Michael, the older brother, is living at the commune, and his sister Dorothy has gone to stay with him after a few things have sort of fallen apart in her own life. So there's Dorothy, Michael, and the other characters that you should probably know about are Karen, who's Michael's girlfriend, and another commune dweller whose name is Thane. There've been some serious upgrades to the ablutions block since their childhood, with pump bottles of lavender soap and warm indoor showers, the water gleaming on Rena's young body in the sun. Cobwebs clung stickily in Dot's hair. She pulled at them in the tin plate mirror, but something that her fingers transferred, oils or heat or dirt, made them glue up and harden. When she flossed her teeth, the taste of blood came into her mouth. It was normal when first among new people to feel more alone. Of this she was sure. Just a little bit longer. First to feel at home here, then to leave. Her hibernation from the world could not be permanent. She didn't have the capacity of a Michael or a Thane. Dimly, she noticed shouting from outside and dropped her toilet bag to the floor. Waves of panic crashed through the sheet iron and the non-tantalized wood. Although the words were unclear, sounds ran together the way dogs sometimes barked, unbroken. She saw the car before she saw Mike. He lay on the ground beneath it, under the front wheel, his leg pinned, and Thane stood over him by the open driver's door, one arm reached into the car, hand on the steering wheel. Mike's face was bright red. Burning red. People stood around, someone clutching her own head, someone with his palms raised. Mike roared and his body twisted as he pulled away from the leg. Dust eddied around him. Hope, or was it faith, had a length of wood, was holding it like a batter at the plate, shouting at Thane. All this was processed as Dot ran to Michael, spoke to Thane, and tried to lift the car. Squatting at the knee, she heard her jeans rip. The arse of her jeans, something went pop in her pelvic floor or near it, and she wasn't able to budge the tyre, her heart wrenching. Now Thane lifted too, helping, inches of searing air between the rubber tread and the leg, and Mike dragged himself out from its shadow. The leg was fucked, and he retched into the dust. A two-legged metal jack lay next to him on its side. Blood streaked his jeans, but there was no severed artery. The problem, Karen said, when Mike was lying across the back seat and Thane was trying to start the car, was the distal tibia, which was splintered and crushed. She cut the side of Mike's face with her palm. "Listen to me," she said. "Something's happened to your lateral condyle. It might be split or it might be pulped. We don't know. They'll give you an anaesthetic and find out. These things sound worse than they are. They might put a pin in your knee, but the knee looks okay. You'll be the bionic man," she said. "Screws and rods, the works." Dorothy asked her to come to the hospital with them, but Karen said no, put a kiss on her palm and pressed it to Mike's good leg. "I can't go into the city. Sorry. I'll be here waiting." That "I know my boundaries" tone of the recovered person, the once damaged. At last Thane had the car in gear and shouted at Dorothy to get in. She sat in the back with her brother, holding the tourniquet she'd made out of her shirt as tight as she could above his knee. Her knuckles and the pads of her fists gleamed white. She was hunkered down in the space behind the passenger seat to do it, hold him steady. He looked old. "He going to lose the leg?" Thane said it stridently, as though she couldn't hear him, although he was just there, driving, inches away. Where was Thane from? Who was Thane? "No," she said. The car slowed, and she raised up on her knees to get blood back into her legs, and the world floated through the window. White roadside flowers, the bank dotted with purple and pink wildflowers, the raffia petals of cornflowers or anemones, the road dust yellow, and the faint sweet smell of cows. "We need to get there fast," she said. And then there was a bump, and Michael moaned, and the car slowly, carefully tilted and lowered over the cattle grid, her brother breathing in pain with every rise and fall. Dot released one stiff hand from the knotted shirt. She held his enormous open hand that was like a catcher's mitt. Michael closed his eyes slowly and mouthed something. "It's better than it looks," she said, a tiny portion of her mind surprised that she could lie. They drove past a brindled cow, conch-shaped eyes either side of its head, scraggly agapanthus. There is a leak, said Thane, up the front here, antifreeze or something. What colour? Green, dark green, kind of. Not the oil. Don't know, skid plates. Makes it hard to see where the leak comes from. That's how come he was under the car. We've lent our jack stand to the farmer down the road. There was just a scissor jack. Thane's voice was unmoored. He was losing it. Are you worried about the leak? Dorothy said. Will we make it? The engine groaned as the car climbed a hill, a stop truck crawling in front of them, the hot smell of wool and live animals jammed together in the dark. Mike's eyes were closed and his lips slightly parted over his harlequin teeth. He wasn't wearing shoes. She couldn't look at the foot that she'd twisted back into place when he briefly passed out. The other foot, the good foot, was brown and cracked, and the toenails had aged, coarse and square and yellowed. Dark hair sprang along the ridge of the foot bone and on the lower knuckles of the toes. Michael's face was clammy beneath her hand. She moved her hand away a bit, and he grunted and rolled his head towards it. Stubble bristled her palm. Oh, fuck, Thane, can you go any faster? How useless is this car? I'm going to be sick, said Thane. It's the adrenaline. It's draining from me. I feel faint. You fucking hippie, it's no better back here. No, you have to drive. Get out, then, she shouted it. He stopped right there in the road, and in a slamming of doors, they swapped places. I'm not licensed, she said into the rearview mirror. Just drive fast, he said. Drive as fast as the car can go. And the road spooled into them like a retracting tape measure.